Everybody smile. Amen. Be of good cheer. God's still saying, it is I. Be not afraid. Everybody smile a little bigger. Be of good cheer. Let God see your happy heart. Amen. Some of us need to work on smiling, so we won't break our face when revival comes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 28:19. Amen. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Would you read that aloud with me tonight and turn up the volume and let me hear your voices real strong and let's go through this together. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. There are people in this world who are trying to prove that that scripture is not supposed to be in the Bible. And many of them are Jesus' name baptized people who call themselves apostolic and Pentecostal. I'm in a debate on the internet right now with an apostolic brother who is trying everything he can to show the reasons why that scripture is not supposed to be in the Bible. Amen. The first day that one person in this world can decide what verse should be omitted because of some understanding or because of some event in history, that's the day you can throw all your Bibles away. If our God is not big enough to have in this Bible before us what He wants there, He wasn't big enough to make the sun either. And He wasn't big enough to make you. So I guess like my professor said, maybe he was right. You're not even here. But just in case some of us may be here, let's see if we can go through this service that may not be happening. Because this God that we serve is not subject to anybody being able to change anything that He wants settled for His people to be able to latch on to. If it is fraud, according to what this person I'm dealing with is saying, if it was fraudulently placed into the Bible, then God was behind the fraud. And somebody sees it as fraud, but God sees it as truth. And the last thing I said to my friend today was, and I'm saying all this to him in love, this scripture is just as strong and just as powerful and just as important as Acts 2:38. Amen. God didn't even depend on the people that put the King James Version together to make sure he didn't depend on them to make sure everything was done like it was supposed to be. They were depending on God. And if they hadn't been used by Brother James, King James, Mr. James, God would have done it anyhow. If you look to find fault in the Bible and you have a particular belief, you can probably find a lot of things to back up the way you see it. There are a lot of people today who don't believe the Word of God simply because they have made up their mind from the very beginning of the Word of God that it couldn't have happened like it says. I heard one lady say it like this: anybody with good sense would know that God couldn't make all this in just 6 days. He didn't make it all in 6 days, as we know 6 days. I don't know how long a creative day is when there is no way to monitor time. Hallelujah. Could be billions and billions, and probably was billions and billions of years, maybe even trillions of years. It could have been way beyond any, even bigger than our national debt in years. Now that's a big God that could do that. God is not dependent upon man's understanding. We need to seek for understanding and trust in God. But why am I wanting to bring this up tonight? It's more than just the fact that I'm having a discussion with a friend. But I see error in the ways that we do things sometimes when the instruction is to go and teach all nations, baptizing them. Now, if we're going to baptize them, there needs to be some kind of an approach that will cause somebody to want to be baptized. Amen. And if we're just going to try to prove a scripture to be not correct or correct and make it such a point that we have to drive it through and make the person see our way of seeing it, still there's a problem. When we try to force people to see things, the human nature kicks in and says, I don't have to look at that. I don't have to see that. You're not going to make me see that. The reason most of America is against the recent health care bill that couldn't go through is because it was being forced down our throats and planned behind closed doors and being so secret nobody knew what was in it and being done in such a hurry that nobody trusted anything that was going on. And I don't know how the outcome of that will all be, but I promise you there is a fast decline of people who were for it in the beginning because they're just not there anymore, even though they may be for the people who were involved and for the... And I think all of us would like to see some change in health care. But you know what? Every person on the face of the earth, especially in the United States, we're spoiled brats in this country. We want our freedom. We still want the ability to make up our minds what we want to do. And we were born in a nation where people have been enjoying this system where people, if they want to apply themselves, they can make money, they can go in business, and if they want to get this kind of insurance or that kind of insurance, or we can just decide what we want to do and do it. But now, you know, for the last several months, it's been like, we're going to make it so that you have to have it, and you have to have it or else you will be fined and you could go to jail. And I don't like for anybody to talk to me like, I don't even like for the cops to talk to me like that. Even if I was speeding for the 14th time. Didn't happen recently like that, but, and I won't go into the past too far. But do you like to be forced into anything? People don't like to be forced into believing in God. People don't want to be forced because God set this thing up even with more freedom than the USA. He set this up from the very beginning of His church with a whosoever will may come. With an invitation to come and drink if that's your desire. If you want to, you may. And then God gave us His Word in so many ways to give us all the reasons why we should want to do this. And when you look at all, I mean, he didn't hide it from us. It's right out here in front of us. And when we look at all the reasons why we should decide that we would like to go God's way, but yet we still have the free choice. If we want to go the rough way, we can go down to the boondocks and end up falling off of a cliff and burn forever. If that's what we desire, God's going to let us make that choice. And some people actually say, well, I'll have more friends in hell than I will in heaven, so I'm just going to live like I want to live so I can enjoy my friends. I hope you like toasted friends. But you can make that choice. One lady told me, with my luck, and as much as I hate typing, I'll end up being the devil's secretary. We have a choice. We also have a choice, you know, after we get into the kingdom of God. We always have the freedom to leave or to stay. God never makes us stay with Him. He's a loving God. They say if you really love somebody, you need to be willing to let them go. Because true love will be there no matter what. And God is a God of true love. Everybody raise your hands and give God a little Valentine right now. Praise God. Just tell Him you love Him. Tell Him you love Him. Thank you, Jesus. What He said just before this in the Word of God was, all power is given unto Me. This is Jesus speaking. All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. So that means that if there is any power in this world, Jesus has it. If it's all power in this earth that Jesus has, no matter how powerful and strong the devil and his imbeciles may seem, they have no power. Because if Jesus has all power, that leaves no power for anything else. Oh, I tell you what. Bells are ringing. Bells are ringing, children singing. That one's in my coat pocket back there. That's all right. It'll stop after four rings. Amen. I got one more to go, and I think it'll be on the computer next. Some people have my number. Amen. That might be the devil's secretary. But if Jesus has all power, how much power does the devil have? If Jesus has all power in heaven, how much power does any other being there have? Well, that right there should tell you there's only one God. We don't have to drive that down anybody's throat. It's just the Word of God. Jesus Himself says, all power in heaven is given unto Me. All power is given unto Me in heaven. So, if there are three persons in the Godhead, and I say this with respect to all who believe it, I'm not here to fight, I'm just here to reason in love. If there are three persons in the Godhead, two of them will have to bow down to one of them, the one that has all power. And I'm not fighting anybody, and neither will you be fighting if you tell somebody this in a proper way. But if we go out and say, look, you're wrong, your church is wrong, you've all learned everything wrong, you're all of the devil, and I've been guilty in years past, and I've been trying to grow up in the last couple of years and learn a little bit of wisdom in addition to what wisdom I might have thought I had, and I'm having better success in making more friends simply by sticking with the truth and trying to stay in a position or when I get through doing some teaching, I can baptize some of them. In the name. of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, because all power in heaven and earth is in the one who bears that name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And see, people will be able to see this if they're given a chance to look at it without having to fight over their own feelings of resentment because of the way we may treat them and act toward them sometimes. All power is given unto me. This is one person doing the speaking here. His name is Jesus. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So whatever the next verse is going to say, coming from this same Jesus, is coming from the one who has all power. And he's going to be speaking as one, and he's going to give us a name to teach about, and he's going to tell us to go in the whole world and baptize people in that one singular name. Because it is the name that has all power in heaven and in earth. Now we need to be able to teach this. Some of us haven't even learned this. And I'm standing right here, and I guarantee you, while I'm standing here, right here in this building, looking me eyeball to eyeball, somebody here does not understand anything I've said yet, although you may think you do. Because I've been raised in churches where people have preached this and taught it for years, and they still don't understand what they got a hold of. In fact, I've heard them explain it so many different ways. I've heard some of my best friends, and they're my friends today, and I would preach for them, and they can preach here. But they don't hear what they're saying. When they say, God is not three persons, there is no Trinity, God is not three persons, they can really get plain on that. Then they turn around and say, God is manifested as the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They're contradicting what they just got through saying. If God is manifested as the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, that's practically the same as saying there are three persons in the Godhead. If we want to learn to teach and teach correctly, we should look into the Word of God and see how Jesus teaches and try to learn the Jesus language. God has revealed Himself as Father. God has revealed Himself as Son. God has revealed Himself as the Holy Spirit. But God's manifestation is always the Spirit of God, which is one Spirit being manifested. And it's not three persons or three manifestations. It's one manifestation, no matter if it's a rock doing the manifestation or a root doing the manifestation or the jawbone of an animal. It's all the same manifestation of the same God. There are not three manifestations of God. There are thousands of ways that God reveals Himself. And the manifestation of God is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need to learn to teach this. The Bible says that we should be apt to teach. Hallelujah. We should be able to teach. Also, it teaches us to be teachable. So if I were you out there, I would shy away from what most of us, like me, kinds of churches we go to, commonly say, God manifested Himself in three ways, as Father, as Son, and as Holy Ghost. Well, you're just backing up what the Nicene Creed presented 325 A.D. when you say it like that. And those who are really deep in the Word of God, who have gone to Bible colleges and have trained and have studied, you know, the old writings and gotten deep into their theology, when they hear that, they're saying, yes, you're absolutely right. That's what we teach. Amen. The world needs to know, the religious world needs to know, that what we're trying to present is not what they teach. It's something that a good-spirited person, a person with an open heart, a person that is approachable, a person that's hungry for more of God, it's something that we should be able to approach them with, and before the conversation ends, even if it takes several months or years, At the end of that conversation, we should be able to say to Jesus, I obeyed you, and now I have baptized that individual in your precious name. Because all power is given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. The power that was in the burning bush when Moses was on the backside of the desert was the same power that you have in your life right now. If we have 35 people in this room, there are not 35 manifestations of God in this room. There are 35 people with God in your life, perhaps, or maybe 15. But if you have God in your life, it's the one manifestation that is Spirit. Another way of saying it is this: the visible declares the invisible. No matter how many visible things we see that show the mighty God to us. Amen. It's all the declaration of the Spirit that fills all in all. We can't see the Spirit, but a manifestation of the Spirit is a revelation that the Spirit is present. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so they don't understand when we talk about we've got to do this in the name of Jesus. When they read this scripture, I'm talking about even people who call themselves apostolic. We read this scripture, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In light of the fact that they were born into a world where tradition has mostly caused all religions to teach, all Christian, so-called Christian religions to teach, that there is a triune, three deity, three-headed God, a three-person God, and that has become so acceptable, that's thought of as mainstream teaching. What we're teaching is thought of as heretic teaching. This is thought of as going off the deep end teaching. And there are plenty of us who give them reason to think this way. Even Paul was going through that. He said, after the way they call heresy, that's the way I am. That's the way I worship God. But he was going through a thing in his day where a lot of people did not want to accept the teachings that were coming from Paul to the church. He didn't have to deal with this triune thing that we deal with today, because that wasn't yet introduced. That was still 300 years to come, or 250 or so years after he died, that would be proclaimed to be the way to do things. But in his day, it was more so things concerning circumcision or uncircumcision, or churches with men and women and kinfolks and sons and daughters and doing things that they had done maybe in the world. But now the church needed to be instructed. Paul didn't hate the church when he gave them strong words. The reason we have the writings of Paul the Apostle, we have Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, all these books written by Paul as Jesus moved upon him, instructions to the church. None of those instructions to the church are things that we should gather together and debate about whether or not I have a conviction concerning this and they don't have a conviction. If I had a conviction, I would go this way. No, it's just the word that is written and taught with love, with a firmness in it, that God also is firm as he backs his word. Instructions that are strong to the church, telling us Holy Ghost filled, Jesus name baptized people how to maintain our salvation and stay in good graces with God, how to give glory to God, how to give honor to God, how to be what we should be in the church, submitting to one another, submitting to God. There are instructions given to the church that are very strong, and in our day, 2,000 years later, some of those instructions are so strong that a lot of people say, well, we don't have to necessarily go according to Paul. That was his opinion, and that was written for people a long time ago. Well, you know, that's something that they can say. Some things written by Paul were for people a long time ago, but other things are just for people today to make sure you have to see this now. Because they get over there in Revelation or get to teaching some of this end time prophecy stuff, and they want to force that down our throats too. Hallelujah. Some of the very people that say what Paul was writing was far back then will go into Revelation and say, let me tell you what you need to believe right now. A lot of Revelation, the book of Revelation is exactly that. In fact, the whole book is exactly that. Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. To some, it's just a book of words, with words, a lot of words. Some understand some of it. Some don't understand hardly any of it. Some act like they know all about it, and they teach crazy things. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, who, as I taught the other night, was the Word of God in the beginning with God and was God, and later the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and John said, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, if this Jesus, who's the same in eternity and in time, He's with God and is God as the Word of God. He's in the earth with all power in heaven and in earth as the flesh with the Spirit of God in control, being a revelation to mankind and manifesting that God is in the world, reconciling the world unto Himself, showing the Spirit of God to humanity and saying to those that look upon them, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. He knew what He was saying. He knew what He was teaching. This was not a contradiction. This was not some absurd thing that would be subject to man to sort out later and figure out what he meant. No, this was revelation. And this revelation carries on till you get to the last book in the Bible, and the book of Revelation can only be really appreciated by those who have revelation. And revelation comes through surrender to truth, to holiness, to godliness, to being teachable regardless of what we've been taught, to be reachable regardless of who we've been hanging out with. Thank you, Jesus. To be flexible enough to change, to be able to change and be changed into the image of God, be changed into what God wants us to be, because some of us have been raised. When I was a child, and I don't say this in any way to be offensive, and some people can't even receive it when I say these things, but I'm not going to stop talking truth. Even if people may be offended, it's just the way it was. It's all through history. I lived in part of history. And when I was a child, I was taught to hate black people and call them by the N-word. I'm not like that now. But somewhere between childhood and the way I am now, I had to take a look at why am I doing this? Why do I feel so strong? Because it didn't come from me. It was handed to me by all the people that lived around me. I was raised in the South, and there was hatred being manifested. Now, hatred is not a person. Hatred is not three persons. Hatred is not two persons. Amen. But there was hatred manifested by many people. And I can talk about hatred being manifested all over the South, but I'm not talking about the first person hatred, the second person hatred, the third person hatred. I'm talking about when I was a child, there was hatred being manifested, but there was only one hatred. and many individuals manifesting it. And you want to get a hold of hatred and manifest that to everybody? You can, but you won't be manifesting a Trinitarian hatred. Thank you, Jesus. But I had to come to a place where I changed my mind. And you know what? There was nobody that I knew that was close to me in the South that could tell me what to do because they didn't have the revelation that had come to me. I just happened to make friends with a young Afro-American person when I was a kid. And we were buddies. And I lost a lot of friends. And it turned out that sometimes he was threatened because he would hang out with me by his friends. And I was threatened because I would hang out with him by my friends. But we were friends. And I started seeing something in this young man that made me start realizing it's not like those little pamphlets that the Ku Klux Klan had been handing out. Because in my day, back in the 50s, I received things in the mail that showed monkeys and trees and portrayed that to be where certain people came from. And, you know, and you receive that and you're just a child. You're 10, 11 years old and you don't know. This is coming from grown-ups. This is coming on mail that looks like, ooh, these people must know what they're talking about. But something wasn't clicking right when I was riding my bicycle with my friend. He talked like me. He enjoyed things I enjoyed. And after they forced the integration issue, he went to the same school where I went. After many houses had been burned and a lot of hatred had been manifested. He was my buddy. He was my friend. And I learned when I was about 13, 14, 15 years old. Somebody taught me something wrong. Now, I hope that didn't offend anybody because I'm actually trying to say I love people no matter what color you are. And I don't use that N-word anymore. And I really don't know what to say sometimes because when I say black, somebody gets offended. When I say Negro, somebody gets offended. When I say color, they started getting offended years ago, so I stopped. But when I was a kid, the bathrooms at the service station were separate. One of them had on the sign for the bathroom, men and women. For the white men, it said whites. And for the women, it said whites. And you had to go to the other side of the service station, and it said colored. Men colored. Now, if anybody opens a station today and puts that up there, they're going to be in a heap of trouble. But see, I was raised in that environment. When you sit down in a restaurant, and I hope I'm not offending anybody, this is in your history book, just because somebody dares to talk about it, you don't need to get mad, because I don't know, I might even love Afro-American, black, colored Negroes more than I love white people today. Because I love to go to churches where people who did not come from monkeys, where people who were able to overcome, where people who had been slaves and had been oppressed and had been hated for no reason are able to freely worship God and accept me after all they've been through. So I'm not prejudiced and I'm not against any race. But I am for one race, and I'll tell you which one it is. It's the human race. So whatever you want to be called next, that's fine with me. I'll try to change my vocabulary because I love you. No matter what shade of skin you may have. I want you to be part of this church. And I'm going to do all I can rather than manifest hatred to manifest the love of God. There is not a manifestation of love. Love person number one, love person number two, love person number three. There is not a trinity of love. And we need to be able to teach this. No matter how many people show the love of God, it's the love of one God, and it's the love of God that is only one love that comes from God. Because we can't really love God unless He puts that love in us. And He doesn't put a different love of God in every one of us. It's not different for you and different for me. When we fall in love with God, it's a manifestation that we're falling in love, and it's the same love for all of us. Christ is not divided. God is not divided. And the love of God is what it is. And nobody can slice it up, because no matter who gets it, it's just as big as it was before another person enjoys it. You don't run out of the love of God, because God is love. He's not divided into three parts. One third of love is over here, and another third of love is over here. And we don't have to try to explain, but all the love is equal and coexistent, and you know, this is one kind that's... No, it's just the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And it doesn't matter what age we live in, how old we are, where we came from, if we experience the love of God, it's the same love that Paul and John and Peter manifested. Hallelujah. They had to deal with prejudice problems back in the days of the ministry of Jesus on the earth. The Gentiles. Gentiles. They were thought of as dogs. Not worthy. Not worthy to associate. Sort of like it was in the South. We'd go into a restaurant. If somebody of a different color would walk in, all the white people would walk out. That was a terrible thing going on back in the 50s. And I remember it so well. So well. And that was the way it was in the time of Jesus, too. When Gentiles would show up, the church people would leave. The followers of Jesus Christ. And then in the middle of all this, Jesus taught a lesson. It's okay to love a Gentile. Can you imagine what some of these people that had left all to follow Jesus must have gone through? Because all they had ever thought of these Gentiles was, they're no good. They're not right. They're not worthy. And then Jesus goes and He sits down on a well and He meets with one, talks about the love of God and how that God is a spirit. Jesus meets with one who wants to just have Him to help. You know, there's a need, you know. Oh, Master, I need help. I've got this problem. Oh, Master, if I could just touch You, I know that You could solve my problem. She was a Gentile. She pressed her way through, got the attention of Jesus. Jesus healed her. There were words spoken. It's not me. Because Jesus was in the multitude, and men, while He was starting to say, they were all getting ready to clap their hands and cheer, I'm sure. It's not right to take that belongs to the children and give it to the dogs. You may wonder why Jesus said that. Was He being mean? No, He wasn't being mean. He was teaching a lesson to His own followers. Because that was on every one of their minds. Ew. Look at who's trying to touch Him. We're the capital B believers. They're dogs. We go to Pentecostal church. They're Baptist. Bless God. We don't have any more right to think of Baptists as being no good, as they had a right to think that that woman didn't have a right to touch Jesus. And whatever it is we've got in our system that makes us want to be like those idiots, and I say that in love, those idiots in the South that raised me and taught me wrong. I'm not talking about my parents. I'm talking about my school teachers. I'm talking about the people that own the restaurants, the people that own the service stations, and all my neighbors. When I made friends with somebody they didn't want me to hang out with, suddenly, it's kind of like being a Pentecostal today, you know. You one of them? I'm glad I finally woke up one day. One of the things that made it very difficult for the South was the forced integration. But it had to be. It wasn't going to happen if it wasn't forced. That's one time that somebody had to just go ahead and do what had to be done. And it was a rough time. A lot of people died during those days. And I don't have all the answers of why it had to be this way. But I know one thing. The hatred had to be somehow brought to an end. It had to come to a stopping point. But we're talking about worldly things now. We're talking about law and people. There are countries today where it's much worse than it ever was in the United States. There are countries where there's prejudice between different colors, different races, and there's war going on, people being killed. Every day while I'm standing here, there is racial strife in many countries in this world. I thank God that I lived in a country where somehow we got past that very terrible time. There's still a lot of it out there, but we're able to somehow go on. And today, I am thankful. I don't like the way he does things, but I'm so thankful I live in a country that could elect a president like we've got now. Because that shows we've come a long way, baby. And if he would just straighten up a few things, I would start cheering for him. Because I actually love the man. I just don't like his way he's operating, that's all. But neither did I like the way Bush operated. Or Clinton. I can't think of a single president I ever liked the way they operated. But I'm thankful to live in a country where blacks and whites can live out the dream of Martin Luther King. Let's praise the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. But this lesson tonight is not about that. That's just an illustration. It's about we're Pentecostal. We're Jesus' name. We're Holy Ghost filled. We have the truth. Well, do we have Jesus? And if we do, we need to figure out some way to obey Him and let this teaching of Matthew 28:19 end up with us baptizing folks in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't understand that yet, if you think that I'm saying it wrong or if I'm compromising with saying that, you're missing the revelation. There is a revelation here involved. Who is it that has all power? It's Jesus. But I can't force that down anybody's throat. But if it's ever revealed to you that Jesus Christ has all power, leaving no power for anybody on his left or anybody on his right, then you will understand how Jesus could teach that we need to teach people to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Because all power is given to Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, went to the tomb for 3 days, was raised up by the Spirit that He had been manifesting for 33 years. Hallelujah. And then again manifested that Spirit to His disciples. For several days, they were saying, "We have seen Him. He's alive. He is alive." The same flesh that had walked on the water, they were able to see Him as a man again. And they couldn't comprehend it because He was talking both spiritual and also in a way that they could comprehend some things. And as the doubter stood there saying, "I won't believe He's alive unless I can see the scars. I won't believe he's alive unless I can put my hand on his wounded side. I won't believe it. I don't believe it. And all of a sudden, with all the doors locked, no way for anybody to get in, there stands Jesus Christ, recognizable as the same one that he had followed a few days before, with scars in his hands. Thank you, Jesus. Come here, Thomas. Not this Thomas, but this doubting Thomas. Come here, Thomas, Jesus said. Come, come. Look at my hands, Thomas. He was saying, see the scars. And I've heard so many songs, and a lot of my friends said, just think, when we get to heaven, we'll get to see those scars too. No, you won't. What time is it? I've lost track of time. 9:10, okay. If you thought you were going to get to see scars, well, you might as well, if it's true that you're going to see the scars in the hand of Jesus, you might as well get ready to take all your scars up there too. Because the Bible says we're going to be changed to be like Him in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I got a scar on my leg I want to get rid of. I don't want to get bald headed because I've been knocked in the head so many times in my life and fallen on my head so many times. I'm going to look like a scarecrow when my hair disappears. I got scars. I got a road map on top of my head. I do. I've had things fall on me, and I've fallen out of windows on my head. I've fallen off of fences on my head. Went over a barbed wire fence, got my leg hung on the barbed wire, but I still fell on my head, but my leg was still on the barbed wire, and I couldn't get off of it, and the barbs were in my leg. My head was bleeding. My leg was bleeding. I don't want to have to look at those scars when I get to heaven. But if I had the power of Jesus and were to meet with a doubter like some of you, I take that back, talking to the people on the other side of the world, and had to meet with a doubter who just couldn't believe. I won't believe Rutledge is a man of God unless I can see those scars on his head, because I don't even think he's telling the truth right now. Well, yeah, I'd be willing to shave my head and let you see my scars. Brother Tim, be thankful you didn't look like I did when you was a kid. We'd probably be able to find Africa on top of your head, or Germany, you know, just looking at the... But you didn't fall on your head as many times as I did. Even when we played cowboys and Indians, we really did knock each other in the head. That's the way they did it on TV. We took our toy guns and went up behind somebody, pow, you know. I learned it young. My daddy, I told you about this when I was 6 years old. Sandra, next door, my friend next door. She had a birthday. I believe her name was Sue. It was Sue. She had a birthday. And she got all the presents. And I didn't like it. And I cried. I went to my daddy and mommy and I cried. I said, oh. Hey, man, she got all the presents. I didn't get anything. It's her birthday. I didn't even have a birthday. And my dad, in teasing, said, all I know to do to tell you, son, is just knock her in the head. He shouldn't have said that to me. Because that's all I thought of from then on. I became obsessed with it. Parents, watch what you say to your kids. All I thought about is, how am I going to do this now? I'm going to do it. Yeah, I know what I'll do. There's that tricycle that's been taken all apart in my garage, there's that axle there, yeah. That'll make a good club, yeah. Now, I got to thinking, I planned all this out. She lives right over there. The path to the church comes from her house, right past our garage door, and it turns and goes to the door of the church. And the path is there because that family, for several years, always showed up at church. They walked to church from the house next door, and they always came the same way until they wore a path into the ground, and that was from their feet going back and forth to church. Year after year. And I could always count on at about 7:15 in the evening, Sue is going to walk right there. So about 7 o'clock, I was standing there, just inside the garage, with the club in my hand. Here she came. Here she came. Here she came. She got right in front of me, and I stepped out. And she went, ah, and screamed. I can't scream like she did. It was a loud, piercing scream. And all of a sudden, people came running out of the church. And my dad was the one in leading, you know, he was leading the charge. Here came a pastor and a whole congregation. Here's this little girl lying on the ground, screaming. And I'm still standing there with a smile on my face and a club in my hand. And saying, Daddy told me to do it. There was a need for more understanding. There was some forced understanding that came after that. Sometimes some things do have to be forced. But when it comes to teaching the love of Jesus, it's hard to get people to receive this if we try to force it on them. Same thing with truth. There's only one truth. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. And everybody that's trying to serve God today is trying to find that truth. If we've got it like we say we do, then we need to try to learn how to manifest it with the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. My dad didn't mean any harm. He was only kidding, but sometimes you just can't tease. When I was a school teacher, there was a man who was not particularly, you know, same color as some others around the store where I was operating this music store. I thought I recognized him because I had been teaching this band, school band, and I'd been, you know, teaching, and I thought I recognized this young man. And he came in the music store where I was working, and I said, hey, boy, I didn't mean any harm. Oh, man, I wish I hadn't said it, though, because he wasn't my friend. He wasn't the one I thought he was. And he came after me, and we had a little chase going on, and I thought I was going to lose my life that day. And he stood there and said, don't you ever call me boy. Don't you ever call me boy. I said, yes, sir, yes, sir. I thought you were my friend. He said, I'm not your friend. Yes, sir. I was willing to do anything just to get out of there alive. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't mean any harm. My dad didn't mean any harm when he said, take a club and knock her in the head. He shouldn't have said it, though. And I shouldn't have said, hey, boy, even if he was my friend. I learned later that ain't something you say to some folks. You just don't say it. I didn't know it then. I had to learn that. But I learned it. I'm still trying to make sure everybody knows. I understand. You don't say those things. Take that club, son. Just knock her in the head. Yes, sir. Can't wait. But something didn't seem right when I did it. You listen to the wrong advice sometimes, and it might be what you want to do. Just like I wanted to hit her in the head. I mean, all he had to do was hint, and I was ready to go. So somebody suggests to you, you know, that, hey, this is the way you need to believe. If it's something that a lot of your friends believe and something that a lot of people teach, then, okay, that's the thing to do. Then somebody like me or somebody in this building or somebody you might meet on Facebook will show up and say, would you like to learn a little more about God? Not that I'm more holy or know a lot more, but are you as hungry as I am for more of God? You know, if you can find the right ways to approach these folks. I'm trying to learn more and more about this. And lately I've been trying to be slow to speak and have my ears open more and be able to hear what's being said from the other side of some lines that have been drawn in Christianity all my life. And I'm hearing things, words spoken, with honest sincerity from individuals who've been trying to live for God for years. And it's words like, I need to grow closer to God. And these words are being spoken after a few conversations of just showing that we care, and we're not interested in debate or argument. But I'm hearing, I need to get closer to God. From ministers' wives, and from friends. Hallelujah. And the only thing I can think of that's causing them to say, I need to get closer to God, is because they're trying to love me even though I'm an apostolic. And so far, they have not seen that old take a club in your hand and knock them in the head attitude. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus, in this conclusion of John, verse 20, said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We need to make sure we're doing that. See what Jesus taught his disciples. See what Jesus taught through his apostles about not making a difference. One comes in with a lot of jewelry on, a big gold ring and so forth. We're instructed, don't tell that one, sit over here. We're going to sit over here. They're all to be received the same. God does not love one individual more than another one. Regardless of what country you come from, regardless of what family you were born in, no matter what's involved in your background, God does not prefer one person over another one. Hallelujah. That should give comfort to every searching heart that's listening right now. If we're able to testify to you in enough love to get your attention to inquire and say, I'd like to know more, help me to find out. Don't attack me. Don't hit me. Don't knock me in the head. Don't come at me with force. Let me be able to make up my own mind. Enjoy the freedom that's in Jesus Christ. Let them enjoy it. And you also, and I need to enjoy it. Let's enjoy this freedom that continues to have a godly Jesus way that says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. That's not just for Jesus, the man 2,000 years ago. That's for the Jesus name people, too. Come unto me. You're not going to give anybody rest by trying to scold them for not believing right. Come unto me, ye that are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Teaching them to observe all things. That's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Went across the tracks. Loved some people that were not accepted by his own followers. I must go there. Why are you going there, Jesus? I must go there. I must needs go to Samaria. You can be there if you want to. We're going to go to town and get us something to eat. Fine. Praise God, that little lady didn't need their attitudes anyway. And while she was gone, the master of the universe was teaching a little unaccepted person who was living with somebody that wasn't her husband, been married 5 times, and unaccepted by the Jesus followers. God is a spirit. He even asked her for a drink of water. Give me to drink. And she knew he's not supposed to be doing this. Huh? You? How is this? You being a Jew, asking me, a woman of Samaria, to give you a drink? Jews don't do that. Give me a drink. And if you would ask of me, I would give you living water. He didn't need his disciples with him right then. He was teaching something that they needed to learn, but she needed to hear it without their looks and attitudes. Ask of me, I will give you living water where you will never thirst again. Well, you know, she said, conversation started rolling now. I know, you know, according to the teachings and that have been handed down to our people, that the Messiah, which is the Christ, is going to come someday and he's going to change things and bring things together and make the crooked places straight and all these things. And that day's coming someday. And he just said to her, I that speak to you am he. I don't think he said, I'm the one that you're talking about. Now listen to me. And when she saw that, revelation came. Hallelujah. Oh God, reveal unto us your love. Manifest unto us your spirit of grace. Manifest unto us the love of God that you intend to be shed abroad in our hearts. Let us enter into this time, Lord, of trying to reach out to others with a preacher coming. Let us enter into this with prayer and thanksgiving, with the knowledge that we're not everything that we can be, and with the knowledge that those who may come to visit, even during the time the preacher's here or afterwards when we get fired up and he's gone and now we're motivated, those that may come, help us to be Christ-like. In Jesus' name.